They're now conducting a walkthrough inside the gym there. Now, Donnie, you've called basketball games inside that gym. Is it conducive to have a practice with about 90 players and 140 people when you combine coaches and training staff and support staff, people of that nature?
I would say no.
No.
It is a very nice gym for a school that size. It's a little bit split where they have like bleachers that pop up at the end of the like main basketball floor. But behind that, there's also like another little like practice basketball court. So maybe they could split it up and put guys over there too. But it'll be tight in there.
I hated back when you would do baseball practice and they would have like a local public, you know, grade school, elementary school gym because it was too cold or rainy outside. Hated it. I don't know if you guys ever had to do that. I feel like most of our listeners
they put the
did.
Divider the up worst. In our gym and they split the girls and boys up. We'd have a girls gym class and a boys gym
class.
Oh, no.
I wasn't talking about for gym class. We didn't even have you had a divider in your gym?
Yeah. It was like a partition that they'd bring out and it would split the gym in half.
No, I know what you're talking about. Yeah. I just, congratulations on New Hartford High School's success.
That was at Perry Junior High School as well.
North Catholic's gym was known for being a stage where they would put on the school play, and if you went flying off in one direction, you'd go directly into the seats.
So they're not going to hit anymore. The backs-on-backers drill, which is a hallmark, a calling card of Tomlin day ones, isn't happening. Peyton Wilson there talking about the fine line between ratcheting up the intensity and physicality, but also it not turning into MMA, as he called it. By the way, if I were picking someone on the current Steelers to do MMA, Zach Frazier would be my first pick. Wrestling background, tough son of a gun, does woodworking as a hobby, already married.
Now that...
Not afraid to get his hands dirty.
Now that's a good question.
A tactician.
I have a different answer. Keanu Benton. Wrestler background. Bigger guy even than Frazier.
Well, Yes, who cares how big you are, though? It's not an open weight class thing. Like,
but they both are wrestling background guys, I'm saying.
Yes, I understand that, but I don't know why Benton being bigger is somehow...
I don't know why Frazier doing woodworking is a difference maker. You mentioned that.
Because it shows meticulous detail.
Really?
Yes.
Meticulous detail is
absolutely
something that you need.
I
thought you just needed... No, to fight MMA.
Well, yes, it's a technical sport. This isn't a brawler sport.
It can be. You can have all the meticulous detail you want until you get punched in the face.
This isn't boxing, Chris.
Are you not allowed to use your fists in MMA? News
where
to
do
me.
Where do most of the fights end up in MMA?
I don't know. I don't have a percentage of how many are submissions versus knockouts. But
412-928-9370. How do they decide most MMA fights? Is it knockouts or submissions?
This is a completely subjective thing. What? Somebody's going to say if somebody goes...
No, someone who's actually like into MMA is going to call in right now and tell Donnie how it works, because evidently we do a sports station and we don't know how MMA fights are decided. Donnie, break the tie. Who would you pick? Maybe you'd pick somebody else.
Chris Boswell, the kicks are just deadly.
Okay. Approximately 12% of UFC fights are knockouts. 24% end in TKOs, i.e. a guy getting pummeled into submission.
Yep.
But even though that's still a knockout. So 36% of the fights.
On the ground.
Zach
Frazier's game, baby.
Heavyweight, total fights. That they'd be heavyweights, would they not?
Probably.
Right? 869 of them total. 420 TKOs or KOs, 191 submissions. Those big boys aren't putting each other in you know, key locks.
I'm just surprised.
They're not putting each other in the walls of Jericho.
I'm just surprised after watching Benton last year, you're so quick to say that he's going to be the best MMA fighter
Frazier
on the team.
Frazier might be really good. I wasn't going to go pick the same guy.
Why?
Fun would that be?
We agree on things all the time if we're both right.
Do you know who Doran would tell you if Pitt had an MMA fight would have been his first pick back when he played? Dave Brightus, the punter. 6'5", 245, actual mixed martial artist.
Who's the toughest kicker or punter the Steelers have ever had? Sepulveda?
He did knock that dude on basically
Mitch Berger had some
Baylor.
Pretty big arms. Not Josh. Jeff Reed took all his aggression out on that poor paper towel dispenser.
I don't think Jeff Reed had a whole lot of like true mean bones.
You know
in
Jeff
his body.
Reed autographs paper towel dispensers? Like, he loves it.
So people buy paper towel dispensers, like, from a...
Glad he has a good sense of humor about
it. If you went to somebody's cave and you went in their bathroom and there was a paper towel dispenser autographed by Jeff Reed, I'd get the biggest kick out of that.
Do you think he would inscribe it, like, your lucky pal to the paper towel dispenser that I didn't punch you?
Yeah.
So somebody's going to, like, Gordon Food Service or, like, a restaurant supply store and saying, like, hey... Or maybe they're buying it from Steratore's janitorial services.
You can get everything
off
Amazon.
People holding out like Jeff Reed glossies. Here's a kid with a paper towel dispenser. Jeff, you're my favorite kicker.
Zach's on the fan. Hello, Zach.
How's it going, guys?
Hey, man.
So, MMA fights are usually decided by submissions.
Thank you.
And because you got all these dudes from Dagestan who all they do is wrestle and they don't know how to stand there and kick the shit out of each other.
You can't say that on the air, unfortunately, Zach. Come on, man. He's also just not correct. I have fightmatrix.com up right now. We talked about heavyweights. Almost half of heavyweight fights that that are charted on here end in KOs.
And you're getting this from AI?
No, I'm getting this literally from looking at a fight at a UFC fight outcomes. Here is the actual truth. The submission percentage relative to KOs gets a little bit better the further you go down the weight classes. The big boys are usually throwing hands and knocking each other senseless.
What's happened to that kid from Penn State who they thought was going to become the greatest MMA fighter of all time, Nickel? Is he still going, Donnie?
He's been in some events, and he's normally like an easy bet to
win. Because I remember watching his first fight, and the guys I was with were like, remember this name. He's going to be the next Brock Lesnar.
I think they're kind of slow playing him. I mean,
he's
I don't know.
Be the next Bones Jones.
Well, Bones Jones is the greatest to ever do it.
He's going to be the next Ken Shamrock.
By the way, I mean, I've bet on the kid several times, and he kicks everybody's ass.
I know, but he's probably fighting. Like, he's doing the thing where Tyson would fight a bunch of tomato cans.
Well, sure. I mean, I
just
think they're kind of slow playing his role here.
This is a real slow play. This dude made his debut a couple years ago.
No, but he's only like 25. I mean, his effective years as a fighter, he's still got a decade plus. Here's the other thing we're forgetting about this little stupid sidebar pony.
Yeah.
A lot of fights just straight up go to the scorecards.
Okay.
In MMA. So
they're on the ground for a while.
They're neither a TKO nor are they a submission. They're just, yeah, but that wasn't your original argument. Oh, they're on the ground for a while. Well, who gives a rat's ass?
I do, and I'm right. All right. Greg Brown in about 45 minutes live from San Francisco will get his take on what he's hearing on the Pirates trade deadline. Steelers practice has been moved indoors. It's just a walkthrough now. This is right of summer when they put the pads on for the first time and start bonking each other around and everything else, and fans love it. It's one of the most attended practices you get. The Friday night practice at La Trobe Stadium and this one are probably the two most popular ones, so it sucks that things got changed, and we'll hear Mike Tomlin later in the show on how they plan to remedy that when they will get back out there and start actually hitting each other and not just practicing in shorts. Peyton Wilson was looking forward to it because, look, the Steelers are doing the best they can to put last year's playoff loss where they gave up 299 yards on the ground in the rearview mirror. They want to erase that, and that's been a big emphasis all offseason, both in the way they're talking and their attitudes and the moves they made trying to become a tougher, more physical football team. They fetishize stopping the run, and the team that is top of the pack in their division is the best running team in the league. So, makes sense. You want to win your division first, win your division, get a home playoff game, go from there. So, you've got to be able to stop the run when you play Baltimore. And last year, this is a crazy stat, Malzi. Baltimore ran for 200 yards twice against the Steelers. The game in December, they went over 200 that the Steelers lost. The playoff game, they went over 200 yards twice. From 2018... all the way back to 2011, Tomlin's first year. So that's 12 years of Steelers football. They gave up 200 yards on the ground one time. In a dozen years of football. It happened twice in the span of four games at the end of last year. The only game Tomlin's team during that run gave up 200 yards was against Jacksonville his first year, but not the playoff game. They lost a game to them in the regular season late in the year.
I was going to guess Jacksonville just because I have memories from back when of one-cut Fred Taylor going wild.
Right. MJD there too. So that's why Derek Harmon got drafted. That's why the owner wanted Derek Harmon so bad.
Can I hold on? You brought the owner up. Just a thought popped into my head when you said that part of this. Obviously, stopping the run's valuable. Obviously, having a good defensive line's valuable. Obviously, just being physically dominant
matters.
Look
at Philly.
Look at Philly. Exactly. Exactly who I was going to talk about. But you still, if you want to get anywhere else that you want to go in this conference, need to stop teams, and including in your own division, by the way, that pass it really well. The Bengals. The yeah. Chiefs, usually. The Bills, usually. Right?
Yep.
Just to name a few. And it feels a little bit too much when you bring up the owner in my brain of them fetishizing, just like they used to fetishize being one of the best running the ball teams offensively, focusing a whole hell of a lot on that defensively. Yeah, you got to be able to stop the run, but like there are teams that'll throw it willfully 45 times on you and have no problem doing so. Do you, I mean,
yes,
how does that strike you?
I don't know. But this is how you get the highest paid defense in the league. Because you build a defense that can do both on paper.
I mean, it should be able to do both, but like philosophically, it's like, man, I just want you to be a good defense. And the idea that you're going to put this overwhelming amount on stopping the run, I think, might be short-sighted. It might be so focused on one specific team, you lose sight of some other stuff.
But if you can't beat Baltimore, you can't win the division. I mean, Tampa lost to Atlanta
You can make an argument that Cincy will find a way around their defensive struggles and Burrow's just going to light people up. I mean, he did it in the absence of like a lot of support last year. Granted, more as the year went on, but still.
So what are you saying? You would not have drafted Derek Harmon because I thought you liked that pick.
No, I like that pick. I just, I don't know. When you said the owner, it just flashed me back to like him years ago.
Yeah, but the owner pretty much said, and so the copy points have been the same all offseason. The defensive performance against the Ravens was unacceptable. That wasn't Steelers football. They didn't lose that game with their pass defense. They got their will taken away with their defense. No, yes.
And that'll probably hurt any football player more. I just remember when they used to talk about we've got to run the ball better, me rolling my eyes at it. I don't think this is that egregious where they are behind the times. It's much more important, I think, to stop the run than this idea that you have to be able to run the ball well all the time. It's just, I don't know, just you saying Art Rooney or invoking Art Rooney in this just kind of got my brain going in that direction.
ESPN bet is saying that the Steelers win total number of 8.5, the over is the most bet on win total on their sports book. People believe that by hook or by crook, no matter what, Mike Tomlin is going to find a way to win 9 games. And the sports books are taking that money and they're not changing the line, which goes against what most people think of sports books. Okay, here comes a lot of money in. We don't want to leave ourselves in a vulnerable position. Let's up the number. That way maybe we can get people to bet the under on the Steelers and balance things out. No, they're gleefully comfortable
with that.
They are willingly, thrilled to be taking Steelers over 8.5 bets.
Now they'll say, what will they say? They have a lot of exposure on that, but they'll say that's the one thing. If they go over, we're in trouble.
Yes.
Got a lot of liability.
Now you're using the terminology, the lingo. They want the liability.
Doesn't that scare you? Which means they think that they're going to get paid. Yeah.
Right.
They're going to get paid on all that.
The experts think the Steelers are an 8-9 team or worse. All the fans and media think they're a lock to win 9 games.
I don't think they're a lock. I talked to somebody today who shall remain nameless who said they are just adamant that their big take for this year is that Tomlin, his like infatuation with Rodgers is going to be the thing that ends his non-losing season streak.
Did that person steal that take from me?
No.
Did that person know that I said it?
Don't know.
If that person found out I said it, would it make him second guess his take a little bit?
I don't think so, but there's a chance. You do have that way about you. Your takes do have that power. They can change other takes from other people. How do you feel about that? I think you should feel good about it. Like the idea that people want to stay away from you so badly on some of your like big opinions,
yeah,
that they will change theirs if it happens to match with yours.
Really?
You're like garlic for vampires. Like somebody hears you stake out a certain piece of territory, they're running in the opposite direction.
Back inside the Bucco Auction House, where Malzi admitted during the break, I am a dominant force.
It's looking bad. What was our July 8th one? I just have Mitch Keller over 7. What was it somehow? What would we have had that was a Keller thing? Over 7 wins?
Donnie has the whole thing chaptered on,
we'll have to go,
Twitter.
Yeah,
Mitch Keller wins 7 plus.
Just wins for the year.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. That was July 8th. Yeah, Pony is in very good shape, Donnie. Such that, like, it's hard to even make fun of him about stuff like, I don't know. Like, he's got Paul Skeens under 230 ERA. It's hard to make fun of him for Thomas Harrington under 595 ERA, because right next after that, I've got Alexander Canario over 5 homers.
I forgot that guy was on the team.
He's got Andrew McCutchen over 221 batting average. Some of these just hurt badly.
Yeah, I told you, though, he can get those special tickets anytime he wants. This is just merely a you versus me, I guess, in the end game.
Hint of viciousness in your comment there, but I like it.
And I invited Donnie to go to the game in the seats, and he blew me off this weekend.
Well, then you can't really hammer him too much.
Yeah, what are you doing?
Sarah was coming home. Listen, okay, you know the point in life I'm in now. Okay,
yes,
Sarah was gone all weekend. If she gets back home and I'm not home, I'm at a pirate game hanging out with Pony all day.
Donnie, I completely get it. I just didn't think I needed to get piled on there when there were mitigating circumstances
I want to stress that Jack is running the board, intern Jack, and so we don't have the try box right now where Donnie's on camera, but if you could see the look on Donnie's face when he started to explain himself there, I've never seen the guy truly mad. You were exasperated in that moment.
Andrew McCutchen has hit 10 home runs in at least every season. Congratulations on all his success. He got to that number last night. Andrew McCutchen home runs in 2025. I will go with 11. Going once.
I'll go with 12.
13.
14.
14 home runs. Andrew McCutchen. 2025. To Donnie. Going once. Going twice. Sold you, bottom.
God.
I could not go one more.
Neither could I. That was probably my tolerance level.
I wanted to go one more.
But you're playing conservative. You're just trying to lay up short of the hole and make pars now.
Done that to you in other contests before, buddy.
I
know how to play the game.
You running out in PM team picks, you running out the clock and literally winning by one game is still one of the most shameful displays for the spirit of the thing I've ever seen.
Number of Pirates trades between now and 6 o'clock Thursday. This includes all trades. So if they make some rinky-dink trade...
But it doesn't include the Frazier deal. It's just between now. Okay.
Yep. They make some rinky-dink deal where it's minor leaguers getting swapped for each other. That counts.
Oh, okay.
Every trade counts.
Okay.
I'll go 1.
2.
3.
4.
5. Five trades.
Individual trades.
Yes.
So if it's a trade involving two players on the Pirates going, that counts as one deal.
Yep. 5 Pirates trades between now and 6 o'clock Thursday.
Donnie, you know he might have inside intel here because he's working his
going
sources.
Going once. Going twice. Sold.
The right,
bottom.
That's the right number. I can't. You're going to let Ben Sherrington make 6 trades?
Well, look at it this way. Tommy Pham won.
Andrew
Heaney, too.
What if one of them goes in a package
deal? IKF, 3.
What if somebody's like, we'll take Bednar and IKF?
Caleb Ferguson, 4.
Right, like if a guy gets packaged, like if there's like two
that's
guys,
what I'm
that's
worried
one
about.
Deal.
There's package deals here.
And then you're going to get those Mickey Mouse League trades.
Somebody's going to trade for Jared Triolo in exchange for him, give the Pirates a guy who can hit 400 but literally can't field.
How about the crazy Jack Sawinski rumor that's out there?
That the Rays want him.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that if that happens, you can pretty much pencil Jack Sawinski in for 30 home runs next year.
He'll win the triple crown. Okay, so you have it at 5 plus.
He needs 6 trades. Yeah, I just...
Isn't it sickening that we all think the same thing?
I thought I was kind of foolish for saying 4.
Specifically because it's the Rays dealing for him. And specifically, too, because... No offense, Jack Sawinski needs to have like a dumb guy approach at the plate. I'm not saying he is. I don't know him. He needs to be somebody where you don't try to get into the nuances. You say, Jack, in every at-bat, you'll hope to see at least one good
pitch
to hit. He's
a year and a half removed from 26 homers and 74
ribbies. Swing as hard as you can at the three best pitches you see and hope that something good happens. And they tried to turn him into Joey Votto.
109 right now.
They did. I'm telling you, they ruined him.
His OPS plus is 11.
They ruined him.
He'll win. That was possible.
Can you imagine him going to the Rays in like some garbage trade? Jack Sawinski, September 18th next year, Jack Sawinski sitting on 61 home runs trying to pass Aaron Judge for the all-time AL record.
All right, Jack just, not this Jack, but Jack submitted this Bucko Auction House.
Jack Hillgrove?
Bucko Auction House item, no. Bubba Chandler starts with the Pirates in 2025. How many starts will Bubba Chandler make in a Pirates uniform this year? I'll go one.
Oh, no.
Boy.
One start for Bubba Chandler with the Pirates, to me, going once.
I think it could be one of those O'Neill Cruz situations, Donnie, where going one's the twice. Only number. And he's got all the life.
Sold, you bought him.
See, here's the problem. They could absolutely bring him up for one start in September. And then Pony gets, at worst, a push, but he gets all the benefit of that as long as they bring him up for one cameo appearance. You know what would be funny? If he comes in as a reliever and Pony doesn't hit the start. that would be delicious.
If Heaney gets traded, I think he's the guy that gets called up.
What makes you think they won't try to bring over
Keller
somebody else?
If Heaney and Keller get traded, I think it's a lock he gets called up.
Now, yeah, like Keller's the big one. Because I think with Heaney, they might just say, okay.
Bring up some other guy.
Or like Thomas Harrington?
Well, yeah. Then he has a chance to get that ERA down from 10.
Good point.
But I mean, you have Ashcraft, you have Burrows, you have guys that can start games. Majinski.
I think Donnie's analysis is right here.
Okay, well, just think about it this way. The Pirates are going to be what? They're 20 games out.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to waste a moment like Bubba Chandler's Pirates debut on some game in September.
I mean, they wasted O'Neill Cruz's debut like that, to Malzi's point. He was up the last weekend of the year.
A pitcher's a little bit different, though, to me.
So because Chandler's that guy gonna is like spend the sole the entire focus. Year at AAA?
That's true, Don.
He's going to spend the whole year there?
What, did he rebound from how bad June was for him? I haven't checked
he
up on
He has a
it.
Little bit, yeah.
I mean, they could all obviously just say, oh, well, he wasn't ready. Look how bad he was in June. 3.27 ERA down there. I mean, some of the peripherals aren't
great.
Awesome. Yeah, 1.3 whip ain't great. Is he striking guys out? He's still striking guys out. He's walking a lot, though. He's walking 4.5 per 9. I don't know, man. I didn't feel good about any of these, and I felt really not great about this last one here. I understand why you kind of took the
2.95 ERA in July.
You took the host's advantage here that you always start the bidding here. You opened the auction, and yeah. I think one was like the perfect number because I feel like he probably is going to get one. I don't think you have a ton of liability here, but I'm not sure that he's going to get two. I really do think we could have a Cruz situation.
Mm. All right. Jack, thank you for the Bucko Auction House music.
Still sounds more like a saloon where people are cheating
at poker.
Jack,
did you feel like who do you think got the best deal there on those numbers?
I like Chandler at Watt because I don't think there's much risk there because I think he definitely gets one. I think six is way too many trades. I don't know. They're going to package somebody together with another guy, and I don't think that gets there. And I also liked Koch at 14-plus homers.
Tell you what, the YouTube comments with some very interesting opinions on how Sawinski could improve hitting left-handers. Not going to say those out loud. some real interesting
thoughts.
Well,
didn't Jeff in South Park say that his wife used to flash the television screen every time Sawinski was at bat? Get her to a game.
No, this theory was a little stranger than that, to put it mildly, or very literally.